Blog Talk Radio.
Some people live for a fortune. Some people live just for the fame. Some people live for the power, yeah. Some people live just to play the game. Some people think that the physical thing defines what's within. And I've been there before. Bad life's a ball, oh, ball of the superficial.
Of the Tony and Kai show, we may have to get Mr. Stutz here to to fill in for us tonight as far as vocalization, because my throat is really raw right now. But regardless, we welcome you to our show and we thank you for tuning in with us this evening. As always, we are tonight going to be talking with Nanette Buchanan about the Author's Den, which is a venue in Jersey, in New Jersey, Rahway, New Jersey, where authors and poets and musicians and vocalists and comedians and praise dancers, etc., can go out and perform and shine and also be able to give back to help the cause of literacy in New Jersey. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we're going to talk to her pretty soon and about this and where it came from, and you know how we do all those good, wonderful, wonderful things is what we're going to do. Lisa is, you know, Lisa's in our chat room. Lisa is one of our faithful, and that's where she's from. So, you know, Jersey. Baby, you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay. I keep looking for your phone number, and I keep forgetting that we're sharing a line now. So I keep looking for your your number. Like, is he on the phone?
No, I'm here.
We have been deep into our writing lately, between my story and his story and his poetry and his creation of a new Facebook website, which has everybody going crazy. We are addicted to this new site that you created, babe.
I know. It's just something I decided to do last night, something I decided I'd throw out there and try. For y'all don't know, I created a page on Facebook, Tell Them Why You Mad. And basically that's supposed to just be a site so you can vent, a site so you can say what's on your mind, say what you feel, if something's upsetting you, just say what's on your mind, you know? If it's the mother-in-law, say what's on your mind. If it's, you know, your neighbor letting their dog go to the bathroom on your lawn, you know, if it's politics, whatever it may be, you know, it's basically the page is for you to just jump on and shout about it. And I was expecting it to be a really fun experience, but I wasn't expecting the, the interaction that came into that page to where people literally didn't want to get off the page. It got fun, and people were venting a little bit of everything. So it was a fun page. We have a radio station that we were getting back home. It originates from Connecticut, Hartford, Connecticut. And it basically, it's a radio. There's a radio show that comes on, and during the radio show, like probably at around 3 o'clock, you know, the guy just has a session where people just call in and tell him, you know, they get to shout out on the radio why they're mad. Not a long conversation about stuff or anything. It's just, you know, people just keep calling in and, you know, he's like, tell them why you're mad. And they just let people know over the air why they're mad, regardless of what it is. So I just figured it'd be nice, you know, it'd be fun to start the page. And it's been a success so far. I didn't think it was going to, you know, I was worried about the following day. And it's like, is it going to be something we can keep up? But people are always mad about something. So I shouldn't have even second-guessed it because people got back on again today. You know, people didn't want to get off last night. And we haven't even reached the hour where people are totally out of work yet. Plus, we're in different time zones from others. So I'm quite sure later on people are going to hit that page back up again.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to keep pace because it got to a point where there were like 50 million people just throwing stuff out at the same time. It's like, okay, where do I go? You know, and you're trying to figure out what conversation. I was just trying to boost up everybody last night. Anybody I could catch, you know, when they threw something out there, you know, I would reply to them, you know, try to pump up the page. And it really worked last night. So we'll see what happens with it.
It was crazy last night. It was outrageous. I'm like, okay. I got thrown into another group, and then I saw it was from my booth. So I was like, all right, well, that's okay. And then it was just, like, nonstop. Like you said, it was just one post after another. While you're posting on this one, somebody else is posting a new why they mad, or they posting on another one. But it's fun. I mean, you're supposed to be mad, but you end up laughing and cracking up at some of the things that people say. And
that was the thing. You can get on there totally mad. You can get on there mad. And by the time you done messed with everybody else's reasonings for being mad and you know, you done had your little fun on it. I mean, after a while, you're feeling good about things. You know, you're laughing with each other. And it was a fun thing to do last night. I wasn't expecting it to go where it went, and I'm glad it did. I really am. For all those that can hear that got involved last night, I thank you very much. And maybe we'll see you later, maybe not, all depends. Tonight's idle night, so y'all ain't going to see me between certain hours, but enjoy yourselves on that page because that's what it's for. It's basically the vent. We don't need to be holding this stuff in, you know. If there's something going on, talk about it, vent. Because, you know, you hold that stuff in, it's just not healthy, not mentally, not physically, not emotionally. It's not healthy. So let it out.
Definitely. And we had a good time, you know. Like everyone said, it became addictive. We had a lot of writers in there and poets in there and regular people in there. And, you know, it's like, okay, I need to be writing right now, but I can't get off. Okay, I'm leaving right now. And then 10 seconds later, they're posting something else. So it's hilarious.
Yeah, it was crazy. People didn't know it. People kept saying, okay, I'm getting off now. You know, people were doing countdowns and everything. And it just, and they just couldn't get off the page. I had people getting mad at me. You know, why you create this page? I'm addicted now. I can't get off. You know.
Yeah, so if you are not a member of the Tell 'Em Why You Mad group, you just need to search Tell 'Em Why You Mad.
Tell 'Em Why You Mad.
And it'll come up. It's a little red, you know, the little smiley faces, but this one is the red anger face. Or hit up me or Tony, and we'll send you an invite. Or, you know, if you're in the chat room, let us know. If
we
you're not,
set it up so it was open and they could join.
Well, it is open, but I think you still have to.
Oh, you could have did that. That's why I gave you.
Well, no, you did. It is open. You did make it open, so anyone can go in and request to join. But I still think, I guess they still have to be accepted. I don't know. I guess it just means that they can open means that they can see the page. They can see the comments that have already been made, I guess is what it means. So.
All right, yeah, because I want anybody and everybody. There were people, and I got to apologize because we're advocates against doing it, but I just had a vision on this last night, and I threw people in. So if you're in a page you don't want to be, I had somebody that texted me yesterday and was like, could you please take me off the page because I'm trying to sleep and my phone keeps going off like every few seconds. And that's what that page was doing last night. It's like if you have a phone that alerted you to every text that was going on or every post, the phones were blowing up because I couldn't keep up on the computer. It's hard. Everybody just kept throwing stuff in. It was great, but it's like it was hard to keep up.
It definitely
was. So I apologize. If I put you on a page and you didn't want to be there, you can definitely, most definitely take yourself off. That's not a problem. I do apologize for that because I should have known better because Kai and I are advocates for that. But we had so much fun on that page, and people keep joining. There were a couple that were, like I said, there were a couple that one was taken off and one took themselves off. But then they were multiplied. So we got like double. I got like double or triple what I lost from the two, like 4 to 6 more people joined, you know, and even today one more joined. It's crazy because it's just a way to talk to people. The vent, get it out. It ain't healthy, people.
It's that. That group is hilarious. I posted the link because they don't for the group, which is funny, you know, for the fan page, you can do, you know, create your own link once you hit 25 fans. For the groups, you can't. You can't create your own URL unless I don't know how to. So, you know, it's that Facebook.com with all those numbers and group this and everything. So I posted it in the chat room, but if you're not in the chat room and you're listening by the phone, just, you know, like I said, look up, Tell 'Em Why You Mad, and it should come up. Tell 'Em Why You Mad, like I said, the little red thing, or hit up me or Tony on Facebook.
Yeah,
Tony Wade
thing that
is
was,
Tony, and, you know.
Another thing that was confusing about it, I got to say, because like, I forgot to say this, but one of the things that was confusing for me, what made it hard for me to keep up is because it was that people were having conversations inside, like you can do, but people would post under other people's posts instead of, you know, they were basically, we were having conversations on everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, normally, like, it, which is different from the radio show, because radio show, you call, you'd be like, okay, tell them why you mad. And, yo, man, I'm mad because such and such and such and such. And, you know, dude would be like, all right, you mad. Then he'd click him off and go to the next one. With this, everybody's having conversations about why they're mad. You know? So you could be tied up in the 6, 7, 8 different conversations.
Yeah.
You
which
know?
Is good. I mean, I'm glad that it turned into a conversation instead of just a million posts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's good as well because now you get to talk about, actually talk and
discuss
about
why you're
mad. Yeah,
you talk about it. You'll find out that there are a lot of people that are mad about the same things you're mad about. You find out, you know, there was one person she posted today and she kept posting and she just had a list. And I'm like, okay, nobody else needs to post because she done hit everything that there is to be mad about. She done just hit it. So,
yeah.
You know, it was fun. It was fun. If you get a chance and you're not a fan or you're not a member, rather, of that, you know, just get on board. Get on board. Have yourself some fun.
Yeah, definitely hit that group up. Definitely make sure that you hit up the Tony and Kai show group page. That's a mouthful. Tony and Kai group Facebook page as well. Make sure you join our group. And, oh, thank you, hon. And check out the our website, which is Tony, the letter N, Kai, K-I-E, .webly.com. Both places you'll be able to see our upcoming schedule, our upcoming shows, contests, et cetera, et cetera. Just a million different ways to follow us. But our guest is online, so we are not going to keep her waiting any longer. We are going to get to Nanette so that we can talk to her and find out about the authors then. Nanette?
Good evening. How are you, Kai?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain.
We are so glad that you are here.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me. I want to say that first and foremost. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're welcome. The Author's Den is, you know, it's a good cause. You know, we were reading up on it. So, I mean, it's definitely something that, you know, bringing awareness to, it's not just a venue, but the meaning behind it is, you know, is awesome.
I'm hoping it catches a buzz. I'm hoping everybody joins in. I think it has a twofold side to it. Basically, we go to these events and we pay a lot of money to see if we can reap the benefit. And a lot of times you hear a lot of authors talking about, well, we didn't make the sales, but we made networking opportunities. I want to make the sales, make the networking opportunities, and give back to the community in some kind of way. And I think that we're losing sight in all of what we do. We're losing sight of where we're being led with all the technology and the, you know, the shortcuts that we do when we text message and everything else. Our children are going to have to struggle when it comes to reaching the real world, where you got to type a real word, or you got to read paperwork that deals with policies and life insurance and different things that we have to read as adults, even just regular reading. So I want to promote literacy, promote the performing arts, because it's not so much that it's fading that our children aren't involved in it, but we're paying a pretty penny. If your children are in extra activities, you're paying good money for that, which used to be supported by community.
Yeah.
And it's no longer doing that. The other thing is they're actually closing libraries all over the country. And
wow.
Some kids need the library. That's their resource. That's their outlet. Some of the programs that are brought to libraries supported a lot of us when we were younger, our children,
right,
as they were growing up, and there's going to be a group of children that are going to be missing that because they're only going to do what the federal law requires, which is having one main library. So some districts will not have the opportunity for the schools to go to the little library trip and the museum trip, because as we well know, when they start budget cutting, and they've already done it with recreation programs, after school programs, and different things, once they start cutting the libraries, they'll cut down the books, they'll cut down the supplies, and that to me is an endangerment of the welfare of our children and the communities. So as authors, I think we need to be obligated in some way to help support that and help bring that back to the community. So that's one of the reasons for the Author's Den. Proceeds that come from the very small fee that the vendors pay or that the authors pay go towards a literacy campaign, and at the end of the year we will donate that to an organization that's supporting literacy in the performing arts.
Yet.
Wow.
It's a shame, you know, like you said, everything is disappearing, you know, whether it, like you said, all the different things that when we were young, I'll be 39 this year, so all the things that we had, books to come home from with school with,
mm-hmm.
you know, now kids just get a worksheet you know, even within school, some schools where they're sharing books or there are no books, you know, the teacher has the book and, you know, the kids get the printouts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's getting ridiculous. You know, they put so much money to everything else, and our children, our country as a whole is falling behind, but then in certain areas, neighborhoods, even within America, even though we as a country are behind, we're still failing within certain neighborhoods within our country as well, are even farther behind. You know?
Exactly. And one of the answers that I got in doing some of the research for the needs and research for how many programs did we have, which I was really baffled at, because my children, you know, they went to a program where it only cost $5, you know, to mm-hmm. participate. You know, you paid a minimum fee, and, you know, they went to it, and that was the fee for the whole year, you know. You only paid a small amount. Some of those programs are now $150, $200 per month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, some of the programs are per week. Some of the families have 3 and 4 children, so one child that may show exceptional talent is the only child that gets to go.
Yeah.
So we as a community owe it to our children that are going to be the people that we have to look at. And, you know, a lot of times people look at it and say, well, you know, your kids are fine, your grandkids are fine. But when I go to a business 20 years from now, whose child is that that's going to be servicing me? When I need to go to the bank to a teller, whose child is that that's going to be behind that counter that needs to take care of my account? So if I'm not concerned with their education and I'm not concerned with their well-being, what then happens? And it's not what the school is giving them all the time that makes a child. It's what the village is giving them. The village concept has to be reignited. And we don't always look at it that way. I'm just as concerned about the kid next door as I am about the child that I raise, because of the simple fact that I don't know when that child is going to be able to help me. So if we don't encourage the learning and we don't encourage the performing arts, literacy and performing arts is like, you know, it rolls off my tongue because of the simple fact that that's the way we were, you know, taught. That you had to have this literacy thing. You had to be fluent in your language to be able to cope with some of the dealings that you deal with as an adult. Performing artists, they had to be able to perform. Some of them, the minstrel men back in the day, that's how they made their money, performing as performers. And we have to go back to that, giving our kids some foundations. I've contacted some schools where they were saying that their band equipment is in a room, closed up, because they don't have enough money for the sheet music to teach the kids. This is crazy. This is crazy.
And it's been like that when it comes to, like, because I used to play in band. It's been like that for a minute now where
exactly.
They downscaled the music. I mean, even like the – and you're right. I mean, as artists, as literary artists, we need to step forward and do something because the music
world. We need to
do something.
We're going to lose. We're going to lose such a value. We're going to
mm-hmm.
lose something that's such a value. That's like taking the core from, you know, our heritage, our background, and everything else. When you start stripping people of their language and not knowing what goes on, what are we going to do? When they don't know the difference between the number 2 and the word 2, because when they text, they use the number, what do we do when it's time for them to write a memo at their job?
That is so true.
With the college,
that is so true.
Colleges now having the tuition go at a phenomenal, you know, increase, how are we going to get our kids into school if they can't write that essay? If they can't write that essay that will get them that grant, if they can't sit at an interview and talk, you know, without using, yo, I'm saying, you get what I mean, you know, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
And it's adults, too. I mean, because, you know, we have so many people, and you know, this goes to authorship where, you know, you have the genres where they say, well, I write like that because that's how they talk. And, well, we're not dumbing them down, but at the same time, if you're promoting that that's okay to talk, not necessarily to talk like that, but also, you know, if you write a book like that saying, well, they're not going to understand it if I write in proper English, then you really are saying that we've dumbed down our people.
Well, we have, because we've allowed it. We've allowed it. Like, they come up with Ebonics,
mm-hmm.
and now you've got dictionaries for Ebonics. Why,
mm-hmm.
why if it's not acceptable, why are we creating tools to help it along?
And
well,
but
have,
the thing is, I think, too,
condone.
That we make it so easy to be dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
We make it so easy to be that way. I mean, I love the idea that when you're dialoguing, you know, you can write it any way you want it to dialogue,
yeah.
and
yeah.
they say what they
mm-hmm.
want to say. But in writing, the narrator is not dummied down. But when
mm-hmm.
you read some of these books, the narration of the book is just as dummied down as the conversation
the
that they're
yeah.
having. You know, so
yeah.
it's not that they're
exactly.
having a conversation. This is the way you write.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be able
even,
to tell the difference.
Yeah. When you have a conversation with someone, you know, like you were saying and Tony was saying, through the texting, we all, you know, we're all now with the shortened letters and, you know, not using the full word. And then, and I've caught myself doing it, actually going to write and writing the letter U instead of the whole word U, you know, or L-U-V instead of L-O-V. Like, wait, I'm not texting right now. I have to
exactly.
actually write out the word.
Exactly.
You know?
But what do they do when they don't know? And that's
mm-hmm.
where my concern is. I have a granddaughter that's 2 going on 3. What happens when she goes to school and there are no handouts, there are no books, the supplies just are not there, not because the school doesn't want it to be there, but everything is now done in the technical world of computers. I can remember when my kids were in school, and, you know, at the beginning of the school year, they give you a list of what they want the kids to have. And
mm-hmm.
I believe my son was like in the 3rd grade going to the 4th grade, and they said they wanted him to have a calculator. And I simply wrote a note back saying he will not have a calculator until he can multiply with a pencil and pen. You know, why
yeah.
am I giving him a calculator to push the number button in an X? What happens
because,
when...
Yeah, because then they don't have to think.
Exactly. Now, what happens when the calculator doesn't work? Does
mm-hmm.
he know how to figure that out? Does he know what to do? You know, what happens with that? And the teacher had to really think about what I was saying, because I told her, I said, I don't know about the rest of the kids, but I know that, you know, he has trouble with his 12 timetables. He has trouble with his 11. Why would I allow him to just punch in 12 and 11 and get the answers?
And here's the kicker. They take, you know, it was one thing, like when my daughter came to me and said the first time, it was like, I need a calculator for school. When it was on the curriculum, you know, it was on their sheet of equipment for them to bring to school, tools, was a calculator. So she's like, I need a calculator.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's one thing for them to say, okay, let them bring calculators. But when I'm being told, yeah, we're supposed to take our calculators for the test, that's really what threw me, because it's like.
Exactly.
A calculator,
how are you,
for a
test. And how are you judging their level? How are you judging if they've really learned, if they're punching the buttons in and the calculator is doing it? I mean, I didn't get a chance to use a calculator till I got almost in college, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it was calculus and trig that I was doing. Mm-hmm. I didn't do a calculator for basic math. You know, the
yeah.
thing about it is that we have to understand that we are helping society diminish the value of our youth in all facets. And I just thought that there has to be a way to contribute. There has to be a way of giving back. And I thought that the author's den is a way, because if we're all authors and we all have this passion for reading, we have a passion for writing, why don't we have a passion for teaching other children how to write, children
mm-hmm.
how to read? Children how to you know, value that, because when we were coming up, you know, everybody told you, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And if you think about it, those are the only things that you carry on to any profession that you have. No matter what the profession is, you have to be able to read, you have to be able to write, and you have to be able to calculate your pay, calculate whatever
mm-hmm.
you're doing. Those are the three subjects that go on with you through your entire life. Yet and still, in most schools, we don't have enough reading material. We don't have enough writing material, and we definitely don't have enough books to go around to teach them what they need to know. So
I find it amazing.
Becomes a problem.
It is.
I do. I find it so amazing that, you know, it's gotten to the point where teachers now have to ask parents to provide paper and pencils
exactly.
and erasers and things for their children. It's like, I remember, you know, back in the day, you could lose a pencil in every single class and go to every single class and get
a new
pencil.
And you still could get a new pencil. And you still could get a new pencil. And
you know, now it's like,
and that's the reason.
You can't do that anymore.
Right. And that's the main reason for our event, the end of August. We're looking at a back-to-school event where we're asking for donations of school supplies. We will supply them with the little, you know, the little backpack or the sports pack. But we're asking for school supplies to be packed in to give, to donate. Hey, here's a notebook, here's a pen. At least get them started. At least they have a starting, they have a starting packet to get them started for the school year. So we're looking at trying to get as many authors as we can out. It's a donation. The money that from the registration will go to a charity at the end of the year. We're planning on having a gala at the end of the year where we donate a check to a charity that's been pushing all year long to try to redevelop some things. We have a lot of groups that are mentoring groups for young men that don't have fathers that are, you know, they're struggling with peer pressure and the gang thing, and they're going to these groups and trying to embrace manhood, which they have no knowledge about. So we have a group that's doing that. We have another group that's working with young girls and trying to teach them, you know, you don't have to be, you know, that sexy flirt to be pretty, you know, that type of thing. We need more groups like that, and we need them to embrace the arts as well. So that's what the Author's Den is about. We started in February, and every 2 months up until August, we've been doing events to try to help raise money for this type thing so that at the end of the year, and hopefully this will be the first year and we will be continuing for years to come, that we will look at different groups and honor different groups. And as the funds grow, we can honor more than one. But we want to have something where we can give back to the community as a group. We want to make sure that, you know, we're doing something where we can give back as a group, as authors. And I think it's an obligation. I mean, if you're saying you're an author, it's an obligation. We're not talking about you have to write about the kids or anything like that, but we should be embracing their need. And their need sometimes is lacking for the most part. Now, if we ask them all to get Nintendo games and 360s, they'd have it. But when you ask for educational stuff and everything else, I'm not understanding. I'm baffled by it.
You are so right on that level. You are so way right.
It is. We have back home another poet that Tony and I know. She started doing something similar. She doesn't do it through her group. I think she just does it from herself. People donate to her. She created the movement. I don't think it's necessarily through a particular event, but kind of like you were saying, every year around school time, she takes donations for backpacks and, you know, school supplies and stuff, and then she hands them out to the inner city schools. I mean, our city back home isn't that big. I don't know. What do we have, like 6 elementary schools, hon?
We do have a lot of schools.
We have a lot of elementary
area.
Schools.
Elementary schools, yeah. There are about
so
there
a
are
lot
ton
of elementary schools.
But it's a smaller area in which to, you know, distribute the goods. And like I saying, you know, she does what she can do there. And you're right, man. It's something that we all need to do. We need to be
exactly.
Involved.
And you know, I get kind of tired because, like I said, my kids are grown. My children are married. They have kids of their own. I have 5 little grands. But my grandson started reading at 2. He's been reading since he was 2 years old. So because I was such a stickler about reading, and I was such a stickler about understanding what you see on the television, that this reality TV is, understanding that these are performances, going to ballets and interpreting ballets and plays and different things that are culturally enriching. These are things that I instilled in my kids at a young age. Now, it's understood that all families can't do that. But as authors, can't we bring a little of that to them? Can't we, you know, can't we do something? Because, like I said, I'm one that believes in the village concept. And that's what our heritage is built on, a village concept. Can't we bring some of that to them? You know,
it's
can't
funny,
we,
when I was in,
you know,
was
can't we do
school,
that sometime?
We should be doing it all the time.
Exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
When I was in school, I used to have this saying. It was my defense mechanism. It used to make me feel good. But when I was like in junior high, I used to get bullied. Back then, I was one of them kids that would get bullied by this particular kid. And it got to a point to where I came up with the, you know, phrase, well, if you don't like it, then change it. If you're not going to change it, if you can't change it, if you're not going to change it, then leave me alone. You know, and as I grow, as I've grown, now it's like I'm oblivious to the fact that I was even saying that when I was young. It was still the same concept. We cannot complain about our youth. We cannot complain about the way things are going if we're not going to step in. And
if we're not willing to step in. And like I said, I don't have any interest in just saying, oh, because my kid is out there. Because my kids aren't. That's not my interest. My interest is just the fact of advocating for children. And sometimes these children are starving for that type of attention, starving to embrace something, starving to play the instrument, starving to do dance, starving to write and have someone recognize that they wrote something that, that came from them. They're starving to do a lot of these things, but they have no one to feed the starvation. They have no one to funnel them with anything. And the little bit of resources that they do have go so quickly because the economy is so expensive.
Right.
You know, you want to take the kids to a play, but at the rate of a play, it's so much money to take them. So with all of us, we can't get together and bring a play to them. We can't get together and have a forum of writers that talk to them or read to them. We, you know, there's so many things that we can do that just adds a spark to a child's life. And if that spark ignites, that's another child that won't be on the streets. That's another child that will think that my direction is not to jail or my direction is not to the gang or my direction is not to, you know, committing a crime. All we need to do is spark some of the some of that brilliance that they have that they're born with just needs to be ignited.
We got to learn how to stand back up for our children and be, like you said, the neighborhood. You know, parents have to start putting interest back into their children, you know, from an early age. Like you said, your grandson was reading it too. My daughters and my older one, you know, my daughter, when she was in preschool, was already reading and writing. By the time she went to kindergarten, she already knew how to add. You know,
exactly.
He drilled it into her and was already preparing her. You know, I mean, this is what we need to do. We need to take time. You know, we can't put
exactly.
it all on.
And
the
and it's funny because they're sponges. They're sponges. They absorb everything. So with you have to be alert at what you're giving them. Give them an instrument. Give them an opportunity. Give them a book. Give them an opportunity. These are things that we need to be giving them. So we go to the preschools and you give out what they need instead of going to the politician and saying we want you to give them money. No, we don't need them to give them money because if you give them money, they're going to be looking for something else later on. And that's how politics works. It's a give me, give you. And all they're doing is moving the money around. We need to have it where it's stable. If this school needs computers, you mean to tell me we can't get 10 or 15 authors together and do an event and raise the money for the computers? I think that could be done. I mean, you telling me that the school doesn't have a copy machine, you mean to tell me we can't get together and have an event and raise money for the copy machine?
Yeah.
These are things that we can do. I'm not talking about giving to the Board of Education where the money trickles down and you never see it. I'm talking about giving it directly to the groups that need it. Identify the group, let's work on it, and we're working towards this. We have kids that are going to different events, and they're saying, well, we don't have enough money for them to, for the bands, for example, perfect example. I was looking on the television. I'm not sure what particular show it was, Dateline or one of the other documentary shows, and they were showing the bands that made it to the finals for the national competition. And this one school, an urban school, won the chance to get to the finals but didn't have the money to go. You mean to tell me we can't get together and donate that money to make sure that they don't give up on music? We couldn't get together to do that? So these are some of the things that have rolled over in my mind. And, like I said, the secondary thing is it doesn't cost $300 for me to give you a vending table.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's costing if it's costing me $300 to give you a vending table, $250 of that should go to that school. You see what I'm saying? Because it's not costing me that kind of money to give you a vending table.
Yeah. I would like to have you back and crunch like ideas and game plans with other authors and just do a show based on getting some stuff together. Because we do a lot of talking on this, on our children, but sometimes a lot of stuff, I mean, I'm going to say outside of what the author's den is doing, there are a lot of talk about it, but we don't step up and do what needs to be done.
Right,
so I would like to set aside, you know, try to organize that with you and Kai and see if there's a way that we can just, like, get authors and just, like, do this thing. Because I'm, like, in the VA, I don't know exactly how to work with the authors then to get some stuff done.
Well, the thing about it is what we have discussed, just to give you an idea of how I did it, of course, I can't be an author's den without authors. So what I did was I had my first event, and I kind of, like, held them captive and wouldn't let them go home.
Okay.
I told them that they were the foundation of the author's den and that I was going to hold them to be committed to doing exactly what the goal is for the author's den. And with a good foundation, I actually picked my first five authors, my first five organizations, authors, Elisa Gabriel, K.L. Belvin, myself, Tiffany Nicole. I picked people that had different characteristics to bring. So if we had to have a discussion panel or we had to have different things in reference to being authors, they could bring that as well. Because I see this, I'm envisioning this as growing. And envisioning it as growing, we could say the author's den is coming to Virginia. The author's den is going here. The author's den is going there. I'm not talking about one community. I'm talking about we have a nation, as Kai said, we have a nation that's falling. And we're losing our children. And if we lose the foundation, I mean, most people don't look at it as, you know, hey, I got to depend on my child. But what are you going to do when you get older? You're raising your children now to do what? To be able to take care of the things so that when you get older and you get elderly, you're hoping that your children will be educated enough to help you. They need to be able to read your insurance policies and your medical things and be able to handle certain things. Well, if we allow the youth to go, who's going to handle those things?
Yeah.
The government? With the welfare system? With the Medicaid system? Who's going to handle it?
Not if they have already going to get rid of all of that stuff anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
getting rid of all of it. All
so
of
we
it.
Have
they want
us. We have to educate our children.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to all be self-sufficient. You know, if the Republicans have their way, you know, we should be taking, everything should be in-house. There should be no need for any family member to be suffering or going through. You guys should all pick up, which is all good and well, and I understand, but then you need to give us away. You know, you need
and they're stripping us from A to Z. Right, and they're stripping us from A to Z. It's nothing that they're leaving unturned for us to fail. And the only way that I see it is empowerment. Knowledge is empowerment. You know, education is empowerment. The ability, there are some people, and I'm quite sure we can go in the history of many musicians, many artists, and many authors that were poor, but empowered themselves with their talent and flipped it entirely to a whole different thing. You know, so
yeah.
We need to embrace and empower some of the youth to kind of get them not so much out of the realm of being children, but they need to be educated children. They don't have to be uneducated because they're children. They need to be educated children. And it doesn't hurt. You know, like I said, on one hand, my grandson reads phenomenally. But on the other hand, he plays baseball with the kids. You know, he's still a child. But he can read and he can handle certain things at his age that most 9-year-olds couldn't handle because they can't read.
Right. I was just telling somebody, my daughter, I mean, she's in college now, but when she was young, when she was like 5, that's all she liked to do was read. So I was saying, you know, I was telling them it was hard to ground her because all she ever wanted to do was read, and I didn't want to take the books from her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At that age, I wanted her to get her read on. You know, it's like, if just the one thing that I want you to do, go ahead and read. She wasn't a kid to watch the TV, wasn't quick to turn on the TV at all, wasn't quick to play with the toys. Those, a year later, were left looking brand new. You know, it's just all she ever wanted to do was read. And this girl can finish a 400-page novel, like, in like a day and a half now. She just, like, wipes it out, and she's looking for another book now. I wanted her to be able to read. It's a blessing for our kids, our children, to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to enforce and encourage them to go
and we
in
have
that direction.
And we have a habit of doing just that, like you said. We encourage our kids. We put them in charter schools or we put them in private schools, and we make sure that they get that education. And then we move them. You know, we move them away from the other kids. We don't want them to catch what the other kids have. You know, we make sure that our educated kids move on. But our educated kids have to live in society with those children.
Yeah.
We can't leave, you know, like they had this big campaign about leave no child behind, but they left the whole group. We need to embrace that and make sure that each one teach one. Each one bring one along and embrace it and show that we're embracing it. And that's the whole, you know, thing of the Authors Den, that we have a basis, we have authors that from all over. KL's from New York, and Tiffany is from Philly, and we just automatically said, hey, this is what we want to do. And once I told them where I wanted to go with it and how I wanted to go with it, it opened so many, you know, hey, can we get this done and can we do that? And it's a beautiful thing when minds come together and say that that's what they want to do. So this is the first festival. This is the first big thing that we're attempting. And we really want to, you know, pump it up where we say, hey, come out. You know, it's 5 hours from 12 to 5. Food and beverages is included in the ticket price of $31. And we want to make sure that a donation goes to that organization or those organizations. And once people pick it up and see what's going on, they'll then understand that, hey, did you hear about that group that did this, this, and this? And like I said, we're not looking to just stay in Jersey. We're not looking to just stay in New York. We're looking to do just what authors do. Authors travel all over.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we stay in our area. As a matter of fact, New Jersey doesn't have too many book signings. Most of the time, I'm in Maryland. I go to North Carolina. I've been to Atlanta. I go all over. So why not go with the same concept when I go? Instead of going with just me, the Authors Den is coming. So you have 3 or 4 authors that come together. It helps the authors, it helps promote the event, and the money that we raise or the money that we have, the donations that we make, goes to the kids.
Yeah. And see, that's what needs to happen. That's, you know, exactly what needs to happen. You know, like you said, the authors travel, musicians travel. You know, we need to travel. Like I said it in the chat room, and I already posted it on my page as well, you know. we as authors, we want people to buy our books. You know, we want people to read. So we need to promote literacy. It needs to be. It makes no sense that it doesn't go hand in hand. You know, people, if they can't read, they can't read your book. You know, and we all don't write for adults. We have various different age levels and genres of authors. So, you know, promoting literacy from a young age makes them readers in the future. And like you said, I mean, it covers everything. What can you do if you can't read, write, or know how to add? What can you
mm-hmm.
really do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't even flip a burger.
Exactly.
You know, how do you put a burger together if
you
don't understand
four
pickles?
But Kai, you say that. You say that. But have you ever noticed the register at some of those places? There is
mm-hmm.
pictures on the register.
Yeah. It's
there's
so
pictures.
Simple now that you don't
there's
have to do
pictures.
You don't
they
have
don't
to
even
know
have
anything.
To read. They and the,
yes.
I mean the money gets deducted and it's right there. You know what I mean?
Pretty soon it'll give you the bills. I mean, it gives
exactly.
they have the ones now where they give you the change.
Right, the one with
pretty
the five,
soon it'll
the one with
them.
I was so outdone the first time I realized that they had a picture of the burger on the cash register. I couldn't believe that the same. I was like,
yeah.
Okay, now we can't even punch it in right. You know.
Yeah.
What is
number
this?
One special, number two special.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
But
wow.
it's terrible, and it's such a frustrating thing to come from you know, growing up in an era where we had everything, where we could go outside and play and be kids, and your homework was done at a certain hour because your mom or your dad made you do your homework, and there were teachers that were willing to stay after school to help you in the subjects that you might have had problems in, or there were teachers that were there to just be playground aides, you know, after school hours, and or the dads that would be at the baseball field. Everything has been diminished. And, you know, while we're watching the politics from above, we're not paying attention to the foundation that's being chopped at as well. It's leaving us. And if it continues to do this, you will only have the phenomenal stars. I mean, there are some people that are just phenomenal. You know it already. You see it in them already. They're always going to be studious. They're always going to be able to perform. They're always going to be the athletic one. You're always going to have those. But there are a few children that right now haven't been pushed, but they're just as phenomenal. And all they needed is a push. All they need is someone to hand them a book. Someone to say to them, hey, what did you read yesterday? All they need is that. And they're not always getting that in the school. And we can't blame the teachers, because if you put 40 kids in a classroom with me, I think I'd freak out too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, having 40 and I'm trying to help this one that's a little slower and trying to move on for this one that's a little fast, and then I got to deal with the mama drama that this one had that morning. I think 40 in a classroom is a little overwhelming for me too. So
yeah.
we have to stop blaming each other for the parts that we don't participate in. We got to stop saying, oh, you know, that the baby is, you know, that they come from a dysfunctional home. Well, do we add to the dysfunction or do we help it? And that's where I think that my input or my desire to be a part of is coming in, you know, that it's crazy. It's crazy. And we're losing the battle. And, you know, we're going overseas fighting the war and all of this other stuff. Well, in a couple of years, you ain't going to have nobody to fight because they can't even read. You know, you give them directions and tell them, look, you got to go to 42nd Street and such to, you know, and make sure you turn the lockbox. They're not going to know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to be studious enough to do it. So,
yeah.
I mean, these are the things that came to mind when I, you know, organized the group. And like I said, it's just a passion that I think that everybody that's in the group has. That says, you know, hey, this is what we need to do. So we brought together authors. Poetic Vibes is a group that's on Facebook, and what she does is she collectively gets together the poets, And we have poets so that the kids can hear a little hip-hop without the music, because that's all hip-hop is poetry. So we give them the opportunity to show the poetry in. And my son does comedy, so he brings in the comedians. And it's a day of entertainment. In the future, I'd like to get some, you know, praise dancers to show, you know, their interpretations, ballet dancers, musicians. But we want to make it where it's literacy and the performing arts. We want to make it where they can actually see how your hobby, your passion, can bring peace as well as education.
Wow. This has been very enlightening for me. Even though there were things I've known, it brings it to a head for me, because I haven't really, it's been a minute since I've honestly thought about it, but we are handicapping the next generation.
Yes.
We are handicapping, like you said, as far as it's even with the adults, we're handicapping society as a whole. And then we want to look back and wonder why China is ahead of us. And Korea. Korea is ahead of us as far as we may be advanced in society as far as our little buildings we have going on here. We may have the money, but look at the stuff that's coming out of Korea, the stuff that's coming out of China, Japan. Their generation, there's a different structure. There's a different foundation there.
And not only that, the thing that I'm finding, too, is when they do their exchange students, during the high school years and going into the college years, but they already have a foundation. So when they come over, they're already disciplined enough to get just the education and move on. They're not so wowed with what's going on in our society. They are disciplined enough to get the education and go on. My godson had the opportunity all 4 years of high school to do exchange students. He went to Egypt, Japan, Costa Rica, and I can't even remember the last place he went to. But in all four cases, he learned a lot about their environment through the education. But like he said, they are not wowed with our big buildings. They're not wild with our technology, because over there they're learning about what we're doing over here.
Yeah.
Whereas in our high school, we're not learning that. Our schools aren't learning, you know, what their kids are learning over there. Mm-mm. We're not learning that. We're learning old history, the Civil War, the War of 1812. No. Who cares? That history was his story anyway. We don't need that. We need to know about what's going on today, and that's what they're studying. They're studying what's going on in the world today, the market, how to do the stock market, what are bonds, and how do you maneuver deals for land and marketing and different things like that. That's what they're learning.
Oh, they had parents here in an uproar because some teachers, and I don't know who it was that decided it was necessary, which I think it is, but they wanted to incorporate into the high schools money management for these students. And you wouldn't believe that parents were actually upset about that. You know, they didn't feel that their children needed a money management class, but these teachers
they
go to college.
That's right.
And they don't know anything.
That's
they get
right.
thrown, you know, all of these credit cards. You got
that's
high school
right.
students that have, you know,
no job, but they got
account.
A credit card.
Yeah.
Right.
Or and
right.
they don't understand, you know, well, if I bounce my checking account, it's going to actually bounce and they're going to charge me a fee and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got like a minute left. I should have made the show longer, and I apologize that I didn't. But like Tony said, we definitely would love to have you back
and I would
another
love to
time.
Come back. Yes, I'd love to come back, and I'd love the fact of the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We have our show on Saturday, the Teen Talk Show. It would be beautiful. It would be beautiful if you could listen in on that as well Saturday.
Okay. Okay. Now, what time is it on Saturday?
It's at 3:00 Eastern time.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because we're in the VA, so. But it would be beautiful if you could join us.
Sure.
We let the kids do their thing. Because we feel the kids need to have a voice. So, It's an off branch from our show. So it's the same show, but we title it for Saturday, we title it, you know, Teen Talk.
Okay.
It would be beautiful if you could join us, and we will be having you back. Everybody that's in the chat room, everybody that's been listening, we thank you for calling, or not calling in, but for, like, being in the chat room and for listening. We enjoyed this conversation. We will have a part two, we promise you, because this is very important. We love you all. Thank you, Nanette, for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We'll get that information to you, too.
We will.
Okay, not a problem.
God bless everybody.
Okay, good night.
Good night.